You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Frank here at the start of a new week, and now waiting on the first calls to come into the show. And you could be on with your opinion simply by dialing Aberdeen 40 10 35. No guests today, just you and me. In the past 7 days, we've had the worst oil leak in the Northeast in the last 10 years, as Shell have come under the spotlight. Was that little difficulty handled well, do you think? And we've had, at last, a decision on the Western Peripheral Route, which will go ahead as planned following a court ruling. But while the Scottish Government says it's committed to the project, we still await a start date. What are your thoughts on that one? Aberdeen 40 10 35. And it's looking increasingly likely that Scotland will soon have a single police force. Now, will that be good in the fight against crime, certainly locally, or will we see little or no change? Give us a call on Aberdeen 40 10 35. We need to hear your views on that or any other issue of the day. And here's another one. In the week that Aberdeen City Council agreed a 5-year plan and a bid to save £120 million, we learn that in the past 4 years, they've spent £40 million on agency staff and consultants. Now, what do you think of that? Does that make good economic housekeeping? Let's have your thoughts on that or any other of the topics which might have put a bee in your bonnet this week. And call me right now on 01224 if you're outside Aberdeen, followed by 401035. And in fact, I'd like to hear very much from listeners throughout the entire North Sound area. But wherever you are, pick up that phone right now and keep me company. So there you are. I've thrown out there a number of issues which you might like to mull over and give me a call about. Certainly, one of the big things that caught my eye in the past few days was the fact that that £40 million had been spent by the City Council over 4 years. That's one shed load of money. This is on staff costs, by the way, and it's to keep agency workers there and also consultants. And that, remember, at a time when hundreds of local authority workers lost their jobs. What do you think about that? Are you one of those council workers who was made redundant or who left because costs, savings had to be found? If you are, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that one. Aberdeen 40 10 35. Now, one thing that got me about that story was that Councillor John West had said at a meeting about this that it amounted to, it represented 1.5% of the authority's total spending on staff annually. Now, that's all very well, and it might seem, in the grand scheme of things, it might seem like a very small amount, 1.5%, but for all that, £40 million to pay to agency staff and consultants would seem to me a little over the top, given the economic climate that the council finds itself in right now. Give me a call, Aberdeen 40 10 35. You might have a view, in fact, on on the single police force that's been mooted for Scotland. It would appear, if we're hearing correctly, that Kenny McCaskill will announce this on September the 7th. There's been a consultation out there for some time over whether this is such a good idea, but it would appear that the Justice Secretary may already have made up his mind. Now, some people say it's not a bad idea because it's going to save millions and millions of pounds, mainly by getting rid of support staff. In other words, human resources, wages departments, things like that, which could be centralised. But there is a concern, certainly in the northeast, and Grampian Chief Constable Colin McKerricker has pronounced that he would be very unhappy should we go down the road of having a single police force. And he believes, as do many of his colleagues in other police forces throughout Scotland, he believes that it will have an adverse effect on policing in specific areas, and that with all the major decisions being taken in the central belt, it will not augur well for policing in Grampian. Let me know what you think about that one. What else have we got this week? Oh yes, we have had the an agreement, at least we think it's an agreement, on a radical 5-year blueprint for laying out the future of public services in Aberdeen. It's been approved finally by councillors, but there is the impression that the unions are not entirely happy about this, and certainly not, they might not be happy with the announcement that all is hunky-dory in terms of their part in this agreement. In fact, if any of the council officials are listening to this today, maybe you can put things right for us in terms of where you, as union representatives of those working within the local authority, where you stand. Give me a call on Aberdeen 40 10 35. So that will be an interesting one, how that pans out, because we've had kind of differing views from the SNP group, the leader of the group, Callum McCaig, and also from Barney Crockett, the leader of the Labour group on the council, about where exactly this 5-year plan is going. I'd like to hear from any of the councillors who could shed some light on where they think it's going. The councillors agreed £91 million worth of savings in February as part of this process of the business plan. And in July, just a couple of months ago, or less than that, the council has agreed to spend £420,000 to hire a consultancy firm, and we think it might be PricewaterhouseCoopers, to review the proposed savings. So they're spending almost £500,000 to see how they should save money. That's an interesting one. Give us a call on Aberdeen 40 1035. Let me know what you think about that or anything else. It might even be, you know, it might even be the fact that Hazelhead's tea room, Hazelhead Park's tea room, has been shut up for goodness knows how long, and there seems to be no kind of light at the end of the tunnel on when that might reopen. This can't be good for the public who go there, of course. Hazelhead, we're told by people in the council that it's a big attraction for tourists, and yet we're kind of inviting the tourists, the visitors to Aberdeen, to come and see one of our finest parks. When they get there, they can't get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a snack because the cafe up there is boarded up. What do you think about that one? I certainly know that Councillor Martin Gregg, who represents that area, is not very happy about that. Unfortunately, we never seem to be able to get, we haven't tried this Sunday to get Councillor Gregg onto the programme, but certainly on a Sunday he tells me that he is rarely available at the time the show's on, and that's fair enough. So, but you might live in that area. Give me a call. The phone lines are starting to heat up at last, which means that we can go to line two and speak to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well this morning. And I got your letter, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that.
The proof of the podium is eating it.
I beg your pardon?
The proof of the podium is eating
well,
it.
Well, that could be. Would you like to explain to our listeners, in case they're wondering what we're talking about, what was in this? It's a cutting you sent me.
The cutting was about the girl and his 15, they having a baby, and her mother was on benefits, and she let her boyfriend sleep with her. A girl before she was age.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the whole thing. There was a grandfather now at 27. You can be a grandfather at age 27.
that's incredible.
No one in the country.
It's
but
incredible.
The one I was reading about is the thing in the Sunday Post today. I just got it. It was a care for the elderly.
Yes.
And, well, the cost of saving my bill was 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And most would say, no, how much savings you have. When you're taking into these residential care,
yeah,
it's all right if you kick a bucket in the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the local authority has to pay. If you've no money, who's going to pay now the local authority? With the council tax being frozen the last 4 years?
Yeah.
Where has the money got to come from?
Certainly,
we're living older.
That's true. We're all living older. You're right enough. More and more people are needing care. But, you know, there you are. Only a few weeks ago, Southern Cross, which had, I think, about 700 homes across the country, they found it too much financially, and they've collapsed.
Yes.
It's a good question. And indeed, Jim, there's a lot of people out there with elderly parents now wondering how they're going to keep them.
Yes. But then the only lad, you remember that last year, the woman who was on your programme, it couldn't afford a day help. And she couldn't get out of her house, and somebody offered to go for her messages.
That's correct, yes.
You remember that woman in how many more in the same boat?
Yeah. And do you suggest, Jim, that we should all rally around and look after our neighbours more? Or, are families doing enough for their
China
parents?
China and Japan used to look after their elderly, but they don't do that anymore now either, you see.
Yeah, yeah. It's just becoming
and
so
of course,
expensive.
With people living over 100 or something, a percentage now living over 100.
That's right.
It's all right. I don't mind if you're living that. If you're able.
Yeah.
And looking after yourself.
That's
but if you get carers to come in, well, the carers can't do it for nothing.
No. No, you're right, Jim. It's an ongoing problem.
It is, yes.
It is, yeah.
Well, there's such a mess the country's in, you see.
That's true.
And where is all the money going to come? We're so much in debt now, you see.
Oh, I know. Jim, you're painting a very bleak picture, but you're
accurate. Now, Mr. Osborne says... It would 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Another thing, Mr. Osmond, I don't know. He's got the made redundant 5,000 income tax inspectors.
Yes.
Now all these people are going abroad with heaps of money.
Yeah.
They should be paying tax.
Ah, well, you see, that's a good point. There's a lot of tax evasion going on.
There's
people at the very top who are extremely rich who are not paying tax or paying very little because they've got their businesses abroad.
Well, you heard from the Chancellor at the oil companies. Oh, but that's what I invested down in the North East now.
Yeah.
So,
okay, Jim. Well,
thank you very much for taking the call.
Good to hear from you again.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. There you are, Jim Monroe. He always got some nice views, hasn't he? Listen, the phone lines are starting to heat up. Keep those calls coming in. I need to keep this program buzzing along right to the end. But before we go to the next caller, let's take a little break. First, we're going to go to Evelyn. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine. I haven't heard from you for a while.
Well, I've been busy. I was at a swimming today.
Oh, were you? Yeah. Hazel Head's still open then, is it?
Yeah, it's still open.
Right.
I was quite a number in first thing, but it's petered off.
Good. What's your point today, Evelyn?
Right. I would like to know how much money has been spent so far in this Union Terrace garden. Right?
Yes.
Now, I was reading an article in the internet.
Uh-huh.
And it says that the councillors have lost control of Union Terrace Gardens because it's the businessmen, the wealthy businessmen, that are having all the say. I can't understand why they're needing another referendum because the people, I mean, right enough, it was only 12,000 that voted against it. Well, it voted for and against it.
Yes.
But the people let their voices be heard, and they should have just said, right, the people say no, and that's it.
Yeah,
their
claim, of course, we're talking about ACCEF here, the City and Shire Economic Forum. You're right, Evelyn, they had a referendum of sorts, which went against them. What they're saying now is that the referendum didn't cover as many people as it might have. I'm not quite sure of the. I think it was something like 1,200 people were canvassed for their votes, if you like. And now it was Alex Salmond, in fact, leading up to the last parliamentary elections in Scotland who said, let's have a city-wide referendum on this one and see how it goes. Now, here's a question. Supposing it goes against Union Terrace Gardens being developed, what happens now? Because, as far as I understand, the City Council are already down the road of applying to the Scottish Government for powers under this TIF taxation scheme, where they can raise taxes from local businesses to help pay back. They get the loan from the Scottish Government. If things go well in the community, in the business community, they can raise the taxes with them to help pay back this loan. Now, somebody might be left with egg on their faces with that one, but this is going to be really interesting. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What are your views? Would you say yes or no to it being developed?
No, I think it's just maybe refurbished. It's just needing the cafe open and the toilets open, a cafe open and the toilets open, and just done up. Because, I mean, it's still a beautiful place, but
yeah,
it's just run down, and they seem to be letting it get worse. I mean, it'll get to a point where people will say, oh, we'll need to get something done with this.
Yeah. There is the argument, of course, that it would rejuvenate the city centre, especially when you look what the plans are for the Twin Spires and a big £40 million office complex there. You know, and it would create a civic space, a square, which we do not have in Aberdeen. I've always said that we need something in Aberdeen which would be a focal point right in the centre. At the moment, we don't have that.
I'm not in favour of it at all.
Okay, well, you can register your vote when we get this referendum.
Yes, definitely.
Evelyn, definitely. Thanks very much for speaking to me.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What about you? What's on your mind this morning?
Good. Frank, we just returned from a few days in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, your previous caller spoke about a cafe in Union Terrace Gardens.
Yeah.
I mean, we're speaking about a cafe in Hazelhead Park for the last 2 years. You know, how long is it going to take a council to actually open a cafe in a major tourist attraction in this city? I mean, you go to Edinburgh, you're falling over attractions there. Everything, they've got it down to a T. They've got cafes here, they've got cafes there.
Of course, these are individual businesses, of course, Jim, opening these cafes. That's fine. And I think it does add to the atmosphere of a city.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get that. Well, I don't know what the score is. I remember we did on this program a couple of years ago something about the council wishing to charge any cafe owner who opened up a cafe, put chairs outside and tables.
Yeah.
I think they were charging £25 a chair or £25 a table,
yeah,
to put them out there per year.
Yeah.
So that represents a big thing for businesses. But I think you're right. I'd love to see all this. But then let's go back. That brings us into the Union Terrace Gardens question. This is what the council are saying. It would allow us space where we could do that kind of thing.
Well, that's right. I think you're right. I mean, we've got to do something. At the end of the day, okay, the previous caller went out about a vote. I think the majority against was about 1,200 people. Now, I think you'll always get a vote that will come across as the people who don't want anything to, you know, anything to change, if you like. And, you know, I think that's sad. I think it's, I think Ian Wood's showing great vision here. I think we've got to wait until all the designs come in, and then we can make up our minds.
Yeah.
You know, I think this concrete jungle, you know, was unfortunate. It was put forward yet again by people who didn't want to see any change.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's going to be a concrete jungle at all. And I certainly wouldn't vote for that. I don't think any like-minded people would do that. You know, we don't want to see a concrete jungle, but we certainly want to see a bit of change.
Well, certainly with some of the architects that we're hearing about who have worldwide reputations, I think we would probably expect something special from them. I think we'd get something special from them.
Well, I hope we would. I mean, at the end of the day, we're looking for something that would attract tourists.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we can't open a cafe in a park, you know, it's I think it's symptomatic of this city that we can't do anything, you know, that's out of the ordinary. Opening a cafe in Hazelhead is not out of the ordinary. You know, Edinburgh's shown that sort
yes.
of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And one other point as well, you know, the next time you get a representative on from Fastbus, maybe I suggest he goes down to Edinburgh and sees the Lothian buses, how they operate the system. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
They've got a first-class transport system down there who serve the customers. It's absolutely brilliant.
Well,
it's
why, partly why, Jim, Edinburgh is such a huge attraction for visitors, not only from abroad and from south of the border, but from other parts of Scotland. I'm like you, I love it.
Yeah, I haven't been there for a while, and I went down for the tattoo and also the festival, and
yeah.
I was hugely impressed.
Yeah.
They've got it off to a T. They know what they're doing. It's a city, it's switched on, and it's just like chalk and cheese here. It really is. You come back to Aberdeen and you think, you know, it's only a couple of hours by train, but it's just a, you know,
it's a world away.
Another part of the world sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Good, Jim. Well, it's good to hear from you again.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, Frank.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
We go to Philip Cooper now. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Frank.
How are you today?
Not too bad.
Good, good.
I'm just concerned about all this talk about revitalising the city centre.
Yeah.
And money's been spent in Duffy Park. Now, can you tell me how many business companies would sort of take one of their top guys and say, look, you must come and see Duffy Park? Because you'll be amazed.
Yeah.
Why are we spending money on that?
Well, I think the money for Duthie Park is coming from the lottery fund.
Yeah, there is that, and Tony Dawson and so on are involved.
Yeah.
But why not concentrate on what we've got, the gem we've got in the middle of the town, Union Terrace Gardens, and clean up, tell every landlord on Union Street, clean up your place. Also,
we'll
put a compulsory order on it.
Right, I think that, listen, you've got a good point there, but I think these are separate issues, aren't they? I mean, the Duthie Park project is funded by the lottery, so it's nothing really to do with it, with the local authority. However, on your other point, my goodness, you're right that we do need to get the city clean again, don't we?
Out of roofs. So why don't they say, right, an enforcement order will be put on you, served on you, until you clean that up. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm critical of that, especially as, you know, we've got to make huge savings. However, we're still paying council tax. We're not getting the services that we deserve. We're not getting the streets cleaned as often as as we used to. The rubbish collections are now twice a week, so that's, you know, we've lost that service, yeah. If you like, and so it goes. I mean, I know that you can walk down any street and we see that leaves from two or three autumns ago are still blocking the drains.
I know, Frank.
Yeah.
And but the councillors are still getting their free rowies, aren't they? Coming good. That's the main thing. They're okay. Thank you for that.
Good, Philip. Thanks for calling in again.
Okay, bye.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you. There we are. Let's hear your views on that. Now, we've heard from Philip Cooper there, critical of the council. We've heard from Jim as well, critical of the council and saying that they should be doing more to revitalise this city and certainly the city centre. What do you think on those points? Do you agree or disagree? Aberdeen 401035. I need your views. Here's Linda. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
I've actually spoke just down at Union Terrace Gardens when I was down there about a fortnight ago.
Right, okay.
With the Tartan Day.
Not me.
Maybe not you. It was somebody, maybe somebody from Ross Sound too, though.
Oh, probably. Tartan Day, I wasn't there.
It was lovely.
In fact, we did, I think North Sound 2 did cover that event.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Maybe you could talk about Tartan Day after your point. You were at Union, so you were down in Union Terrace.
Yeah, I go down to Union Terrace quite a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm actually a friend of Union Terrace Gardens.
Okay.
And I think it's a disgrace what they're doing. I really do. What they want to do, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting the garden run down. They're trying to say that there's Dutch elm disease all over the trees and that the wall around the Union Terrace Gardens is dangerous.
Yes, I've heard that one.
This is what I've been told.
Yes.
by one of the councillors.
That's right.
I won't mention his name, but he's from Rosemount, so mm-hmm. you'll gather who that was.
That would be Bill Cormie.
Yeah. I sent an email last year to Kevin Stewart about it,
uh-huh.
and he sent one back saying to me, I think that's what we should do about raising the gardens. And I had sent another one back to him. It's not what you want, it's what the people of Aberdeen want.
Right, OK, so this referendum that they're suggesting that we have...
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think lots of, you know, well, here's my point. People who are like you are part of action groups within, who are against or even for different things. They mobilise themselves really well. You get yourselves organised where the public at large tend to be ambivalent about things, don't they? They
yeah.
tend not to take part in referenda. They tend not to vote these days. You look at the Bloomin' Council election or the last parliamentary elections where the turnouts are quite poor. Do you think that your group has enough in it to win the day to stop this development happening?
Well, I do hope we can, because they tried to shut Dooney's farm
mm-hmm.
and the people stopped it.
Yeah.
And Graham's now got the lease for a good few years,
yes.
and he's doing very, very well with it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what he does is unbelievable. I mean, I used to help out there, and it's for the children, it's great. And I have actually spoke to Kevin Stewart again on email.
Uh-huh.
I sent another email. He denied the email that he sent to me, but I think I've still got the copy somewhere around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Where what he said, that he thinks that's what should happen to Union Terrace?
Well, let me throw it out here and let me play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
If we accept that Aberdeen, the city centre, desperately needs revitalisation, and as some people suggest, we need a civic square, a gathering point, a meeting area, where there is an atmosphere and a buzz, if you like,
that's an easy place to find.
Well,
right across from their beautiful new council headquarters.
You mean where St Nicholas
yes.
House is now?
Knock all that rubbish down that's there, that whole place down. Leave the nice building that's in there. I think it's at Provost Ross.
Get
beautiful garden there.
Yeah.
They can have they've got the cafe in that building already, so they won't have to put another cafe in.
Of course, that was an idea that they put forward a wee while ago, or some time ago, when they said that St Nicholas House was going to come down anyway. I don't know if it still remains on the table. But it would be a good civic square, you're right.
It would be the most perfect one, because it's on the flat ground already. People walk past that streets all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not far from Union Street.
Well, what about the argument that it is, you know, for some people, it's just a wee bit kind of out of the way?
I don't think it is. I think that there's a lot of people around that area that shop around there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best place for it. And then the council's trying to say that disabled people can't get into Union Terrace. That's rubbish, because I'm disabled. I walk with a stick,
uh-huh.
and I can get into Union Terrace.
But you can't deny, Linda, that Union Terrace gardens, they aren't used a lot. I mean, I do accept that they don't have to be used, that it's really quite a thing to have, as some people call it, a green lung
exactly.
right in the centre of the city. And that's really, I guess, is that why you want to preserve it?
Yes, because I take my grandson down there.
Uh-huh.
And he loves it down there, and he plays. And I know that I can sit there and read a book and let him run around, and I don't have to worry about traffic and things like that. But what annoys me is you can't get to a toilet down there,
mm-hmm.
and you have to walk all the way to Spa Street. And have you seen the state of their toilets there?
Mm.
I mean, they're a disgrace. They're getting run down as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not decent toilets in Aberdeen that stay open at a certain time anyhow, because council keeps shutting everything.
But didn't we... I seem to remember that we came to this kind of... agreement, if you like, on this, or they were going to start a scheme where they were going to ask shopkeepers if the public could come in and use their toilets, and I think they were going to pay them, this is off the top of my head, £250 a year or thereabouts.
But where's the money coming from?
Yeah.
The council's in debt.
But I mean, that's not a bad idea, isn't it? If
yeah.
there are shops and restaurants there, why not just go in and use their toilet. I mean, some of them would take exception, but if they had a bung from the council every year, they might go with that.
I would not like my council tax money that I pay every week to council to go to things like that when the council could stop wasting money on referendums. And apparently this new referendum we're going to get is not going to have the status quo in it, that we want the gardens left sunken and just upgraded. Apparently they're not going to have that.
I didn't know that. And you see, that's a difficulty, isn't it, with referenda? Mm-hmm. Because
that was what was wrong with the last one.
The way it's phrased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're not going to have the status quo that we want the gardens just upgraded but left as they sunken down as they are. Could you imagine if Edinburgh wanted to do that? Mm-hmm. Edinburgh Council wanted to do that. We'd hear the uproar up here.
Yeah.
There'd be a hullabaloo.
Yeah.
I mean, why do they want to take away a green lung in the centre of Aberdeen, which has got beautiful flowers, absolutely gorgeous trees, to raise it just because a few businessmen want to build on top of it or underneath it?
Well, it's really a fascinating topic, isn't it? And mm-hmm. it's going to get even more interesting, I think, as we get nearer and nearer. I mean, do you see your organisation, you know, staging protests, all that kind of stuff?
Well, they do have been staging protests. I have noticed. I keep getting emails from them telling me that this thing. But because I am working, I can't get to half of the demonstrations because they're through the day, Monday to Friday, while I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get to them, which is a shame because I would be one of them there. I would be there and show them that disabled people still can get into Union Terrace Gardens. And I had said to Kevin Stewart, if the council stopped locking the ruddy gates underneath the bridge,
mm-hmm.
you know, down the back of the theatre?
The theatre, yes.
Disabled people can still get in.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go up and down the stairs if I hold on to the banister.
Yeah.
But most of the time I use that gate under the bridge.
Okay, Linda. Well, listen, keep in touch with the programme because, you know, it's a fascinating subject and it's polarised.
Mm-hmm.
The city, hasn't it?
But again,
you know, come back to what I was saying earlier. Again, it seems to be the organisations, people like your organisations, who have kind of mustered support, whereas the, you know, apart from letters in the paper here and there, we've heard nothing kind of great from the public at large. Do you believe that a referendum would fall in your favour?
I don't think so. I don't think the council is going to allow us to say that we don't want the garden raised. I don't think they're going to allow it at all. I think they're going to ask us, like they did the last time, there's the things that they're going to want to do to the gardens. Pick one.
Like they did last time. But on that list, will it not say leave them as they are?
I don't think there is going to be one. I don't trust the council at all to have that at all.
Okay. Linda, nice to talk to you. And keep in touch.
I will do.
Thank you.
And I love the show, by the way.
Oh, thanks a lot, Linda.
I have it on my car every day.
Good.
I never listen to anything else in the car.
Good for you. Thanks very much for that, Linda.
Thank you very much.
Bye then.
Bye-bye.
There we are, Linda. She's a fan of the show. Glad to hear it. Any other fans out there? Because we need some calls. Aberdeen 401035. This Union Terrace Gardens question is really so intriguing, and I think there's going to be lots of twists and turns before we ever get to a final decision on that. But what do you think? Aberdeen 401035 is the number. We need to hear from you on that issue. In fact, it's one that crops up every other week. But have a think about it, because we're going to have a little break, after which we'll be taking some more calls about Union Terrace Gardens, and they're coming after this. Just under 10 minutes left of the programme. We're going to go to the phone lines again. Helen's waiting to give me a hug over the airways, I think, but we'll come to Helen in a minute. Just hang fire there as we speak first to Elaine, because you want to say something about Union Terrace Gardens, Elaine.
Yeah, I'm another one that wants to keep it more or less the way it is. I don't want it concreted over. It seems a bit weird that people like the councils are trying to get green space and plant trees, and then they want to take up all these lovely trees and put another concrete mess in the middle of the town.
What do you think? What's wrong with that idea?
Well, what, we've got this lovely space. We're lucky, we've got it.
But you know, nobody goes there.
Nobody goes there because it needs some money spent on it, admittedly. They could do so much with it. But the council and the police, to some extent, have let, you know, strange people wander down there and the toilets are closed. So there's nothing really, you know, families can't go down there. There's no access for toilets. So there's nothing there.
Yes.
But some money spent on it, reasonable money, but a lottery funding like they've got for the Duffy Park.
What would you like to see down there?
Well, wee cafes and shops, some entertainment, toilets. Not a no-go area. Somewhere where people in Aberdeen, you know, the office workers can go and have their sandwiches out in the sun when we get a fine day. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's a reasonable idea, and I'm just wondering if it's something that the council might have done years and years ago.
Yeah,
are you thinking about
the last 20-odd years just letting it get to the state it is.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the little cafe. If they had a kiosk or something, it might have been an idea. Now, they might argue it's not their job, but in fact, they've done it elsewhere in other parks.
Mm-hmm. It seems other places would love a bit like that in their town.
Yeah.
We've got it. We just need to use it. Upgrade it.
Yes. Make people want to go down there.
Yeah, we don't have to spend 50 million or 400 million or whatever the figures bandied about are when we don't have the money, when we need it for proper services.
Well, in fact, just to be fair to the council, it's not going to be their money. The £140 million we're talking about, and I guess it's going up all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is partly money, £50 million from Sir Ian Wood, and the rest is going to come from a loan from the Scottish Government. If in fact, which we've got, well, the business rates will pay that back. Yeah. However, if there's a referendum, do you think that there will be sufficient opposition to it, as far as you're concerned?
Probably not, because people get apathetic,
don't they?
Really. But I would like to think that for something as important for the future of the town, the city, they would come out and, you know, restore it.
Yeah.
You know, people have a lot of happy memories there, you know, but nobody has any memories of it lately because they don't know it's there.
Sure.
You know, they can't go down there.
No, it's as you say, it's almost a no-go area.
Almost.
Okay, Elaine. Well, that's nice to hear from you. Good to hear your views on that one.
Okay. No
thanks.
Problem.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Helen is waiting. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
I think is your dander up by any chance?
I'm not going to go there.
Are you not?
No, not today. I'm on my mobile and we're in the car heading south.
But you're on about. Where are you heading for? Just a matter of interest.
Gurdon.
Are you?
Yeah.
What, you going for a fish supper or something?
Well, my no, my daughter's lives down there. My granddaughter's.
Oh, lovely. Hugging. Let me explain to the listener that in my Evening Express column the other day, I had written something about there being an epidemic of hugging. Every time you turn on the TV and you see people greeting each other, it's always with a hug, and. Sometimes it looks quite uncomfortable and unnatural. And even in the street now, people are hugging all over the place. What's going on? Are you a hugger?
Of course. Lauren's just shouting in the background.
Be quiet. Let Helen talk for a change.
You love it. So I presume you're going to be seeing Michael Mara later on in a couple of months' time?
Oh, I didn't know Michael Mara's coming back to Aberdeen, is it?
Yeah, got more tickets. So when I see you that night, I'll give you a hug.
So so you're a hugger, are you? I mean, do you think I overreacted here?
Of course, you're a big. Well, somebody else wrote in the paper. Apparently, Lawrence was saying that you're an old fuddy-duddy or
something. That's right. I'm an old grump. Yeah, they said that next time they see me in Union Street, they're going to come and give me a hug. My goodness.
Well, you're going to be accosted all the time.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to get a personal bodyguard, just like these pop stars, to keep the huggers at bay.
Well, you know, 2 years ago it was my birthday, and my family gave me my own registration.
Yeah.
And guess what it is?
Tell me.
Hug. Yes.
Why?
H-U-G.
Oh, of course.
Because I'm always hugging people.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, so well. My registration is my hug.
Well, excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, Helen, it's good to see you. Enjoy your day in Gurdon.
Okay, thank you.
And Michael Mara, this wonderful singer-songwriter from Dundee. Now living in Newtyle. He's coming back. Is it the Lemon Tree by any chance?
Yes, it is. Yes.
All right. Well,
October,
I
think it is.
I must.
November. Oh, it's either October, November. I've got the tickets anyway. So
fantastic.
We'll see you there. Maybe.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Helen.
All right.
Have
bye.
A good day. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I'm a grumpy old devil. How dare she? Hugging. Yes. An epidemic, I think I mentioned. It seems to go on all the time, but that's a light. We've got 2 or 3 minutes left. That's a light issue. You might like to finish there, but give me a call just to keep me going for another couple of minutes or so about any of the issues. I mean, some excellent calls today. Good views on the Union Terrace Gardens. Actually, some very measured views. Not the ranting that we might expect over this very contentious issue. Let me hear what you think. Aberdeen 40 10 35 is the number. You might have a nice, funny or light story to end the programme with. If so, then I'd like to hear from you. Certainly I'd like to hear from Marion, who's trying to get through, and John on the phones might be able to push that one through. She's sitting there talking to John. John keeps him on for ages, doesn't he? He likes to blether. Here she comes. Marion, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm fine as well.
Tell me what you're thinking about Union Terrace Gardens.
I think it's a lovely place. I passed there on Friday afternoon and it was such a nice day. There was loads of people there.
Did you go down?
No, I was off to see a wedding.
Oh, were you?
Yes. But I have memories, when I was a child, it was known as the Trainy Parky because we used to watch the trains passing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes.
But that's many moons ago.
But you see, things have moved on now. We've got so many other... We would be amused to go to a park like that, wouldn't we? In the younger days, if you like.
Yes,
and
definitely.
We'd be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
And happy with kind of toys that were very basic, for example. Now, of course, people want more from life, don't they? Maybe
yes.
Union Terrace Gardens is what we need.
Yes, we do.
You think we need to keep it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, Marion. With that final voice on the programme, thanks for calling in. Sorry we're going to have to come to an end.
No, not at all.
But keep in touch with the programme and give us a call sometime.
I will do.
Okay,
thank you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you. Well, it's we haven't had anybody coming on to say that they want to retain Union Terrace Gardens. Isn't that interesting? We will no doubt return to that and other subjects on the programme next Sunday. We're always here at 11 o'clock. It's great to hear from you. And remember, you can get in touch by simply calling Aberdeen 4010 35. Until next Sunday, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.